Welcome to Ben Drury's Voice. I'm Ben. Join me as I chat with big thinkers, decision makers, and leaders in the world of tech. If you like the show and would like to hear more from us, give us a follow on your favorite streaming platform. Welcome to the show, guys. Today we are joined by Shaz Muneep, who's head of development, and Zamin Akbar, who's head of people, both from Genflow. We've been talking a little bit about Genflow before we started recording, but I think for the use of the listener, could you give us a bit of a background on Genflow and kind of tell us a little bit about what it is?
So Genflow, where me and Zamin both work, we build brands for influencers and celebrities, but our tech, or what the company offers, which is unique to say something like Shopify or Squarespace, is that it's optimized for the influencer. So
I
can get into more detail, but that's what it is, Genflow. It provides an optimized e-commerce experience for influencers and celebrities, which is something that Shopify or Squarespace couldn't offer you independently.
Yeah, that's pretty specific, isn't it, for influencers alone. So what made you come up with this concept, or where did it come from?
So that came from our CEO, Sean. He went through a journey. He had several other businesses before this, and this was one of the pivots that he made to this stage, where he had essentially realized he had another platform. He basically realized that chasing after the social media aspect of that platform, there's no point because people like Instagram and Twitter are there. So he focused purely on the e-commerce side, because the purchasing power was already there with influencers. They already had the influence. And because of that, he went into utilizing that purchasing power rather than fighting a never-ending game of acquiring the purchasing power. So just actually becoming an influencer or making your own social media platform. It's a different game. Mm. He made the strategy to go into this space, and that's how we're here.
Cool. How old is the business? When was it founded?
I mean, pre-pivot, I don't even know the exact dates as I joined later, but I think it was 2016.
2016,
I can give you the exact date.
Cool.
I joined just over 2 years ago now, but I joined before the last pivot, basically.
Nice. So in that time, since it started, has the concept changed at all, or has the core brand just remained the same and it's just grown?
No, definitely. We weren't even we've moved on to apps and physical products now. Even before that, we were just the base minimal version of what we are now, is just selling PDF guides online for fitness influencers. It's only from that it spawned all these different verticals.
Cool. So we've introduced you in your roles and things like that. So I just want to kind of find out what your roles entail. So Shaz, you're head of development. So what kind of goes with that?
So I manage all things on the development side, and more particularly in the client facing side. So if that's digital products, so web apps, website. And that means utilizing the development team, the quality assurance team, the designers and product managers and the AM, and running that whole process together, because you kind of work like an agency, even though we're not completely like an agency, but we work like an agency. So we have clients. So making that product, that process, run as smoothly as possible and grow, and being able to hire more people and they just increase our throughput rather than making life harder again, because obviously that is a whole other thing to focus on. There's two parts to it, but I manage all of that at Genflow on the development side.
Cool. And then Zamin, you're head of people. So
head of people, yeah. So my job is essentially the internal recruitment for the business. I will go out and attract the talent to come and work here, but then I also kind of sit down with managers and do a lot of kind of business and hiring strategy with them as well. Let's talk about where we're going to be in the next 3 months. Let's talk about where we're going to be in the next year. Let's talk about international hiring, so on and so forth. Where are the key growth points? for the company. What direction are we going to be going in? That's a lot of my role.
Cool. And obviously, like you were saying, then you look ahead like 3 or 6 months about where you're going to be. But with the tech industry, with tech moving like so fast, I mean, how can you tell what's going to happen? Or how do you prepare for that kind of shifts in technology and business?
We're in a different kind of tech business, I'd say. We're not constantly changing our technology. We are like obviously adapting to the problems we need to solve with our tech. Tech is a tool. We aren't necessarily changing it. So even though tech itself is like constantly moving forward, within the realms of the technology we're using, obviously our team has a natural interest in it. They're up to date with what's new. But instead of jumping out like and into other types of technologies, we don't do that like really quickly. We're obviously evaluating if it's worth it and does it solve our problem pragmatically.
Yeah.
So that isn't an issue, to be honest. Planning 3 to 6 months ahead, I'd say our main concern is more figuring out the logistics of stuff, because we love to sign on as many clients as possible and then we push and get through it by adapting.
Right.
Okay. So I think that's more of a focus than how can we keep up with the tech, for sure. Our tech moves fast anyway, so I guess that's another reason why we don't need to worry about it. Like we can have an idea today and it can be implemented tomorrow and be like solving a problem for us.
Do you think that helps you kind of prepare for scale then, just the speed of which you can adapt?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And then has that always been the case? Because obviously the business has scaled quite a lot in quite a short space of time. Were you always prepared for that?
Yeah, I think that's just in the culture, the type of people we've hired. It's just become that. Or the people who stuck around are the people who can stomach the rapid changing. Yeah, I think that's definitely a benefit. It's not the change. The change is a byproduct of what we're trying to achieve. So if something comes up and we know how to achieve it, we will do what we need to achieve it. And then as a byproduct, yeah, we change something maybe, yeah. We're a young company and we can deal with it for now.
Zamin, we were talking about, you know, obviously finding the right people, but how do you find the right people? How do you know they're the right people for your exact business?
It's a difficult one because, you know, how can you turn around and say, okay, this person is going to be 100% what we need and so on and so forth. And Charles will probably agree with me when we say this. We do any sort of relevant test that we can do in the interview process itself, that through technical tests and just kind of interview questions. And at the end of it, we kind of get them in and we get them started and we hope for the best. And at the end of the day, it's the type of person in terms of it's more for, actually that's wrong to say, because for us it's more about personality as well. It's not just about, oh, do you know X coding language or whatever. It's what kind of person are you? And you can get a really good gauge of a person when you're interviewing, when you're speaking to them. We really like problem solvers. And you know, one of the guys that we've got in the team who I love to give an example of, and Shaz has done as well, he was sat on a train and he started like hearing people speaking Japanese and he realized, oh, I live in an area where, you know, Japanese is quite popular as a language and I don't really know it. So he created an app.
No way.
To learn and teach. Well, and he did that all himself, for himself.
For himself as well. It's not an external like gain in any way. Yeah. Just because
and that to us is somebody who we want people who are going to solve problems.
Yeah.
Who are gonna see a problem and think, okay, what can I do to make this easier on often on other people? And that guy just, you know, is a perfect example of that.
Absolutely. So I mean, in terms of recruiting and onboarding, in the past, before, you know, the pandemic that we're in now, I mean it was a very like face-to-face procedure. We'd get people in a room, you'd physically meet them, you'd chat to them. But now, obviously, everything is kind of remote. I mean, how has your recruitment process changed when you're trying to find people?
The introductory parts of it stay the same. You know, you interview via telephone and have a chat via email and so on and so forth. What we've done, before the pandemic, things were really streamlined. So it was telephone call, test, one face-to-face, bang, you're done. And we realized kind of in the pandemic, during the pandemic and during the lockdowns, where the face-to-face in-person element was removed, you can't really get a confident enough feel for a person, and that person can't get a confident enough feel for you. So we've extended the process a little bit. We've adapted it to that change, and we said, okay, this now gives us an opportunity and gives the candidate an opportunity to ask us as many questions as they can, for us to ask them as many questions as we can, where we can then turn around and be confident that we've made the right decision in hiring these people. And more often than not, I can proudly say that we have a few businesses out there at our sort of level that has grown exponentially during the pandemic. And our new kind of process and hiring strategy as well.
Cool. And I'm thinking about the business now, so, and the pandemic. So has there been any changes that you've made to the business during the or because of the pandemic that you're going to take forward into the future?
Working from home, of course, I guess everyone's had to do that. That's kind of become the norm. And I imagine there'll definitely be an influence of that in the future, even when things go back to normal per se. It's actually good because people have actually anyone who had any doubts that this would not work has now been proven wrong, that because everyone's doing it and has been forced to do it, and business is moving forward as usual, in fact growing. It's clear that there's a healthy aspect to having a little hybrid situation. I think I'm not personally for like completely working because you miss out on some other culture aspects, which I think are important. But I think it's good to have a balance, which we can now offer. And I do imagine that goes on after because it's working.
And one thing I think that we've done and we've actually, that I'm quite proud of is, you know, we've kept things apart from, sort of outside of the national lockdown, where it was, okay, no, bang, everyone is definitely working from home and so on and so forth. As sort of restrictions have loosened, we've been really flexible with our team and said, look, you know, you can work from home. You've got all the tech you need to work from home. If you want to come in, you know, you've got this building that has several other floors. You know, I'm in one of the mezzanine areas while we're speaking now. Shaz is at home. You've got a couple of people in. The option's there for you. You can decide if you want. And that's something that I'm quite proud of, that we haven't imposed things on people. That's not the kind of place we are. You know, we're not that kind of crack the whip, sort of vicious sort of place to come into work that you have to do this and you have to do that. It's just not us.
Yeah, and it's interesting because obviously with the lockdown, everyone that could work from home had to. So there's a lot of businesses that were like, yeah, everyone do that. But then it's a very different story when people are actually allowed to go back into the office. And it's interesting seeing what businesses do. Like I've heard of other businesses that are straight away, no one's working from home, everyone's back in the office 9 to 5. So it's interesting to see how people have adapted.
Funnily enough, we were just about to implement our own work from home policy before lockdown happened anyway. the way the timing happened, we're like, okay, well, I guess it's not a choice anymore. So we were already thinking along that line.
I can't really think, to be honest, I can't personally think of any negatives that come from a flexible working lifestyle at all.
No. I think the key is in flexible, not either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what we've done is we've given people the option. We said, look, if you want to work from home, go for it. If you want to come to the office, do it. Like we still, during the lockdown, we had, we became aware that, all right, you know what, people are not keeping in touch as much as they would probably like to. And it's difficult in terms of culture and positivity. So we did like a massive company-wide team quiz, which was the first time that we'd done anything like that on Zoom. And it was a bit chaotic but it worked out. And we've then kind of adapted little things that we do now from there. So obviously within reason and making sure that we keep up to the rules and don't risk anything. Friday drinks in the office is still on. If people are here, go for it. the fridge is full. Like, you know, we're trying to operate as normally and as flexibly as possible.
Yeah. Do you think that you've got a bit like quite a startup culture then? Would you describe it as a startup culture?
We've got Genflow culture. That's what I call it. Yeah. It's different. We're quite unique in the way, I guess, we are. But yeah, you could say it's definitely a startup culture, but we're taking inspiration from corporate processes which are known to work because that's how a corporation exists. So it's like being inspired from what works, what processes work, and implementing them. Because to get to the next level, we've achieved this level, but to get to the next level, you have to start implementing the correct processes and growing the team out. It's inevitable. Doesn't matter how attached you are to the startup title. To go forward, you have to do what everyone else who's doing it is doing, basically.
So I'm thinking now in terms of the industry as a whole, and almost specifically when you're hiring new people, do you think there's any skills that are undervalued? So, you know, is the things that you look for in people, but they never seem to like say they have, like, you know, you're saying problem solving and things like that.
I've got one: time management.
Right. Okay.
Honest to God, it's so people do not talk enough about time management.
Right.
And it's in a business like ours where there's so many moving parts and it's so fluid. Being on top of your time management is so important. However you work is fine. Like if you're somebody that likes to, you know, kind of start a little bit later in the day and finish later on in the evening and so on and so forth, or, you know, starting in the afternoon and finishing the next morning, whatever works, just make sure that you're on top of your time management. And I often find candidates coming through who have never really thought about that and never really thought about what their own internal processes are for time management. What, you know, one of the questions that we've started asking people is, do you use any sort of time management procedures yourself? You can use Asana at home, you can use so on and so forth. There's so many little things that you can do. And a few have come back with, yeah, you know, I do X, Y, and Z, but most people haven't. And I find that fascinating because I think, well, how do you manage your day? How do you manage what you've got coming on? And in a business that's like ours, that's fluid, that's fast paced, that's busy all the time. If you're not kind of good with time management, you will struggle. Shaz, what do you say to that? What do you think?
Time management, yeah, definitely. That's one, especially because I was not good at it and I had to get good at it. It didn't come natural to me. Now it's like my holy grail. Like, I'm so on top of my calendar. Less of a like tangible skill, I'd say, like you were saying, problem solvers or like a hustler mentality, a self learner. So I think people don't, like, if I was going into work now and in development, the first thing you'll see about me would be that I'm self taught. Because now when I'm in the process of hiring and looking for people with Xamarin, I'm looking for people who have solved, who have created things for themselves for no other reason, not to make money, literally because they just wanted to see this thing work. Because that's how I am, and that's how I've been since I've been programming, since I was 13 even. It was just out of natural curiosity. It was never to make money, to get a job, whatever. So those people who have that natural thirst, knowledge, usually people have it like way further down. They're like, it's like they're in the value of themselves. They'll actually put their degree above the bit which is self-taught, when they may have learned primarily from that. So that's definitely, I look for that particularly. Not to say that we don't look at people who obviously, who have not had the opportunity to go through the self-learning route, because everyone like arrives at the time to like learn to develop or whatever it is at a different time. But it's definitely a plus because it shows they know how to, if you give them a problem, they'll be able to learn and find the solution even if they don't know it. Whereas if it's like someone who's like just textbook, nope, I don't know that one. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think that time management one is really interesting because if you think about like a typical tech interview, you think that you're going to be answering very technical based questions and maybe a little bit about culture. You wouldn't really necessarily think that those basic things that people need to work in a business, you'd have to almost say, you'd just overlook them. So that's really interesting. Yeah. Yeah, and then start, you know, self-learners as well is classic because I've heard a lot about these free code camps that people do and then they come out of them 6 months or 9 months later and they're ready to join a business. So,
yeah. We've hired one or two people who have come with that background. But again, we're looking for people who can get on it from day one. So these people had showed like a natural aptitude. We're not at the stage yet where we're hiring loads of juniors who we can like grow and whatever. Like we need to move the business forward and then we can get to that stage where we can hire. It's a different stage. We still, like I was saying, we've found a few people who are of that breed, code camp, and have a spectacular understanding. And I could go instantly, had a gut feeling that this person will be able to run with it, and they proved me right.
Yeah, cool. You know, I'm just thinking about you two now. So obviously we've already mentioned that tech is moving really quick, but is there any resources that you rely on to stay ahead of the curve in tech, especially with the business? Like where do you look for inspiration?
There's several, I guess, loads of things going on in the company. You can't help but constantly be thinking, what's next? How can you make this better? And that sort of stuff. In terms of like, if you're speaking about tech, it's just about reading blogs and stuff like that, which is a natural thing to do if you're interested, like Hacker Noon, Hacker News, TechCrunch, all these kind of things. If I'm interested, I'll keep up to date on it. The CTO as well, he's the same, we share stuff together. But in terms of like where the business is going, it's impossible not to think about it when the way we work. So it's like on the spot, it's improvised for sure.
Sorry to jump in. One thing that I quite like about the business as well is people in a completely different side of the business to tech will come over and start asking questions about tech because there's a genuine interest in it, and vice versa. I'm obviously not part of the tech team. I, funny enough, I sit with the tech team, so I've learned a lot about the processes. But I'll see guys in the tech team going over to the guys that make our products, that make our hoodies and t-shirts, and you know whatever we've got coming out, and they'll start asking questions. And is that general inquisitive nature?
Yeah.
You know, and that you know the mind of okay, how does this work, and how can we make it better? I like to think that all of us here in the business and the people joining soon as well, we inspire each other in a weird sort of way in that we push each other as well to be, you know, the best versions of either developers or product managers or recruiters or whatever we can be.
Cool. I'm just thinking about now, so when you first started in your career, is there anything, you know, if you were to look back, is there anything that you wish you were told at that time when you first started that you've had to go on and learn, like, the hard way?
That's a really... I've got so many lifelong...
And I guess you can say that, but at the same time, I wouldn't go back and change anything because then I wouldn't have arrived at this position. So work both ways.
So Shaz the philosopher.
I was thinking my answer, and I'm like, well, I still wouldn't do it any differently because then I wouldn't have arrived here.
I would probably just tell myself to relax a bit more. I used to panic a lot, like when I was younger. And I would think, oh my God, it's not in my control. What the hell's going to happen? And if I look at kind of where I am now and where I've gotten to and the business that I'm with, it all works out, man. Don't worry about it. Like just keep going, keep plugging hard, keep working away, you'll be fine.
Yeah, that's a good one, actually. Yeah, I agree.
Very good words of advice there. I think, I think finally, just to talk about Gemflow a little bit, what plans do you have coming up in the future that, you know, in the next like year, 2 years, 3 years, what have you got coming up?
Lots. In terms of growth and hiring, we are growing left, right, and center. I put a video out recently on LinkedIn. Every single one of our teams is hiring. Every single one. We're not looking for like one or two people. There's multiple roles, or there's multiple positions for the same role effectively. So you might be looking for two React Native developers or three full stack developers and so on and so forth. So if we want to keep it specific to tech, the growth plans that we have, and it's not, we're not sitting there and saying, oh, they're ambitious growth plans. They're not. That's what we need. That's what we will achieve. And you know, those are targets that we've set ourselves that we believe and know to be achievable in terms of growth. So I would suggest people keep watching this space, because there's going to be a lot of things coming out very soon.
And then what about the business, Shaz? What can you like spill any, not gossip, but can you spill any kind of new ideas that are coming out?
I mean,
I know it's a very sensitive area.
Because of the space we're in and the clients we're working in with, there's definitely limited amount of things I'd say, yeah. But in general,
I don't want to get you in any hot water.
Yeah, it's all good. In general, obviously, as like a business like ours would do, like it's in our interest to get more clients, so we get more market share. Like in particularly in the tech business side, getting clients is easier now for us because we've made a name for ourselves. It's more now handling this client, so making sure that the pipelines of development can run in parallel. And like Simon's saying, we're hiring ahead of time so that people are joining this process so that we can handle the scale of clients that we need. We're always going into different verticals. So like we don't only do digital products, we have physical products. So we've gone into beauty, apparel, fitness products. So we're always going into new verticals. That's always on the horizon.
Fitness was always our bread and butter. It's kind of where we started. Near enough, everyone in the business has a very acute understanding appreciation of the fitness industry. But we're in a place now where we looked at the marketplace and said, right, well, there's so many things that we could be involved in. You know, there's so many other avenues within the kind of hard product space that we could be doing as well. It's not just web-based or app-based fitness products. You'll see, like I said, hoodies and t-shirts and a lot of other things that are going to be launching very, very soon. And we will be shouting about them.
We know good stuff is about to happen. Cool. I think that might wrap us up today, if that's all right with you guys. It's been it's been really cool having you on the show, and thanks for giving us a bit of insight into your business and what you guys do. It's been really cool. Yeah, thanks.
It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure, man. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. If you like the show, give us a follow on your favorite streaming platform.